Like, could they scratch somebody? Okay, sure. But who? Who's going to get scratched?
Oh,
like,
so I don't good. Know.
Yeah.
I immediately thought of you because this is a bit that happens all the time. And I joke around with you and some other people listen that I'd give these guys so much credit if it is a bit.
Hello and welcome to a very special bonus episode of Islanders Anxiety. My name is Dan Saracini. Joining me on this Monday evening via Zencaster is my friend Michael Leboff. And Mike, we were treated today to an Islanders segment on the venerable Sportsnet podcast 32 Thoughts, hosted by our friends Jeff Merrick and Elliot Friedman, in which they talked about the New York Islanders, who, as we spoke about yesterday on Islanders Anxiety, have lost four games in a row, including a huge face plant to their arch rivals, the New York Rangers. Before we dive into this, because we're going to sort of dissect the segment here, fire Joe Morgan style. This is something I've kind of wanted to do with these guys for a while. But first, when did you first listen to this? I listened to it on my lunch, and I just listened to this part about the Islanders. I didn't care about the governor's meetings. I didn't care about the Coyotes, who are apparently looking for an arena. Who knew? Crazy. But you listened to this whole thing this morning, right? You, I think, listened to it before I did, right?
I was listening to it. Yeah, this morning when I walked the dog, the first 5 minutes were rough. But got through it, and I listened to it all the way through to the Islander segment. Knowing, you know what, like I knew full well it wasn't going to make me feel better about the Islanders losing streak, but I did want to hear, kind of take a step outside of the Islanders bubble and just think about how people are talking about the team, because when they won those six games in a row, it was just you know, wow, the Islanders won six in a row, eyeball emoji. Mm. They're, you know, in a playoff position by points percentage, eyeball emoji. Oh, we could get a Ranger Islander first round playoff series, eyeball emoji. Like, that was really the extent of what was going on. And then Mike Kelly did that Twitter thread that we talked about where he pointed out it all looks sustainable. And I think everybody had the same point of view. Everybody outside the island had the same point of view, which was, yeah, this looks legit. The Islanders, we can kind of talk about how they got hot and we'll catch up to them when they make the playoffs in a couple of weeks because it looks like they're heading in that direction. Mm. And then this happened. And I wanted to see if it was how people were talking about it. Was it like, as you said, the Islanders kind of just fall flat on their face? Was it the Islanders, are, you know, they've lost, they've won six in a row now, they've lost four in a row, but they're 6-3-1 in their last 10 and are in the thick of the playoff race, because, or is it going to be a nobody in the Eastern Conference wildcard race wants to win a game? And I think it was a little bit of that part and the second one, which was nobody saw this coming, which is
right,
including us, which really, we talked about how it made us feel like assholes, like we got fooled here and we shouldn't be getting fooled, because we get fooled by this team so many times that, and have said to ourselves so many times, this is the last time.
Mm.
But yeah, I was interested, and I actually, you know, I'm excited to go through this because it's something we talk about a lot on the show for a reason. Like, this is the hockey big, I think the most listened to hockey news podcast, most discussed hockey news podcast.
Sure,
most discussed, definitely. Just like even just most discussed hockey content.
Yeah.
That goes out, you know, twice a week. So it's worth diving into. Plus, like, I'm not doing well with the Islanders right now. So the more we talk about it, the better more it helps.
True. Yeah, 32 Thoughts, I always think of it as sort of the water cooler show. Like, it's the show that, you know, they talk about something here and then it gets kind of talked about and disseminated around the rest of the hockey world, as opposed to something like a Spit and Chicklets or, you know, whatever, which is popular, I suppose, with some people, but, you know, a lot of people don't listen to it. This is sort of like the newsiest stuff. And if you've made it onto 32 Thoughts, chances are you're doing something either very good or very bad. And in the Islanders case, it's very bad. And if you were hoping to get a view of what people are saying about the Islanders outside of the Islanders bubble, you probably were disappointed by this segment that we're going to talk about here, because there wasn't a whole lot brought to light. And so we're not talking about it based on the fact that, you know, a whole lot of information is being relayed by the hosts, but we're going to talk about it because, you know, they kind of skirt around a lot of issues, and maybe we as fans can get a little bit more in depth. So let's start right off the bat. Jeff Merrick opens the segment up, and let's play a clip of that right here.
You know who's really upset today? Really who's upset that? Today? Patrick Waugh.
Who's that?
So
Patrick I don't Waugh. Blame him. I do so not blame him.
Here's the week that was for the New York Islanders. Just when we thought they were chilled out and a little bit tucked away, and look at this, the Islanders are marching to the playoffs. I know their record looks kind of goofy when you look at it, but if you squint at it, you say, yeah, maybe it's okay, and they'll get there in the playoffs, and they'll be able to do something here. Monday, shut out by the Los Angeles Kings, 3-0. Thursday, shut out by the Buffalo Sabres, 4-0. Saturday, lose to Ottawa in a game that Patrick Waugh says we gave away, 4-3. And then Sunday, lose to the New York Rangers, 5-2. So you're right. The Ottawa game, they picked up a point. But other than that, this team was blanked. And all of a sudden, the door swings open in the wild card race. More so really for the second wild card. Tampa's running away with the first wild card right now. But all of a sudden, the Caps have a couple of games in hand on the Red Wings. We're going to get there in a couple of seconds. Maybe they're even chasing the Philadelphia Flyers, 3 points away with 2 games in hand. The Islanders have Elliott allowed this to happen on their watch.
Okay, so Jeff opens by saying Patrick Waugh is probably very upset. Elliott's like, I don't blame him. They go over the week and all the losses and say that the door is now opened for these other teams to, you know, kind of jump into the playoff race. I'm going to say something that might be somewhat controversial here, in that between the Saturday game being against the Ottawa Senators and Sunday's game against the Rangers being on Sportsnet, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that these guys actually probably did watch some Islanders hockey this weekend, which is probably not something they do that often. However, I am also going to say that this sounds like the first Islanders game these guys have watched since that game in Montreal. Which was obviously a big deal with Patrick Waugh going back, because they seem a little bit surprised that this team is what it is, and that they're, you know, they've fallen apart here, and that their record is what it is. What did you make of this opening segment here? It's pretty par for the course for 32 Thoughts, Jeff being kind of silly, Elliott just sort of being like, you know, kind of picking it up and you know, sort of taking the everyman view of this whole thing. But it is kind of funny that all of a sudden they're like, wow, the door is open here. And it's like, guys, the door's always sort of been open if you've been paying attention.
Well, yeah. This is the funny thing. It's like the Islanders walked through the door at one point, right? Like people don't, I feel like everyone is talking about the Islanders right now as if they were like the Winnipeg Jets were last season, maybe like 13 games over NHL 500, coasting to a playoff spot by the All-Star break and fell apart. The Islanders needed a 6-game winning streak coupled with a Detroit Red Wings 7-game losing streak, and then the Penguins, Devils, and Lightning to some extent, and Flyers to fall apart to just get into the position that they were in. The egregious thing is that they didn't leave the door open. They just held it open. They walked through the door and then they held it open. Right. That's what's so confusing here. The way the Islanders are being painted right now, they are absolutely vomiting on themselves in front of us. But they also were doing that for most of the season. This is nothing new. This is nothing new that we've seen. So, I knew that they were going to focus on Waugh, right? Because it gives them. Right. I think that the most interesting thing about the Islanders right now for most people, and I can't blame him, is that Patrick Waugh is their coach. And I think there's a lot of people with like that morbid curiosity to see what is he going to look like when this goes pear-shaped. Is he going to give us the Patrick Waugh from his first time around in the NHL, where he's yelling at Bruce Boudreau, he's screaming at the refs and all that? Or is it going to be this more zen like Patrick Waugh that we've seen? And I think that they're kind of getting excited that we're heading tiptoe in the water of the vintage, you know, Patrick Waugh with the temper, the pretty big temper that he had as a player and a coach.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so I have a question for you, but you just segued perfectly into the next clip. So let me play this next clip here, and then we'll pick it up on the other side, because this is about Wah. So here we go. This is mainly Elliot talking.
You could see Wah blowing up at this, because in big games, he was at his best. Part of the thing that Wah is saying here is that he doesn't understand how in a big game like this, players couldn't be at their best.
Okay, so Elliot is wondering if Wah is going to blow up. Like you said, he's obviously a fiery player. Is he going to lash out, I guess, at some of these players? We're going to talk about some, you know, what Elliot thinks might happen in a little bit. I do like that he's like, you know, he can't understand why these guys aren't at their best. Why aren't they playing? This reminds me of when Wayne Gretzky was coaching the Coyotes, very unsuccessfully, I may add, you know, about 15, 20 years ago. And the whole thing was like, Wayne Gretzky can't understand why everybody on his team isn't Wayne Gretzky. And I don't know if that ended up being kind of like debunked after a while. I don't know if Wah is necessarily that kind of guy. If he is, we might all be in trouble. But let me ask you this, and you kind of alluded to this, so you may have already answered it, but if Patrick Wah wasn't the Islanders coach right now, do you think that this segment would be happening at all on this program?
That's a good question. Probably not.
Right.
I don't think so. I
Blaine
think
Lambert was still the coach, obviously. You know?
Yeah, like if it was just, maybe the Islanders would be mentioned in passing, but it wouldn't be a quote unquote deep dive that we're getting here at all. But I think it's funny that the way that these folks see Wah and the way the Islander fans view him are very different right now. Like very, very different. We look at him as this guy who's kind of layered and gets that we're layered to, and there's a lot of mutual respect, I think, between the fan base and the coach, and both the fan base and the coach are kind of on the same page. I thought what he said a couple weeks ago when the Islanders had won, was it in Dallas? And then he's like, well, now we're going to go home and we better play well at home because the fans have been patient with us. And like we need to start giving them good hockey. I was like, this is a guy that gets it. Like he knows that, you know, he appreciates us and we appreciate that he appreciates us. Whereas the way that they're viewing it is, oh God, there's Patrick Wah, he's getting angry.
Right.
And it's like that's the extent of the layer. Like he's got one layer and it's Patrick Wah fighting Chris Osgood.
Right. Well, I thought this was funny because this sort of they're almost sort of dancing around what you and I talked about last night on Anxiety. One is that Patrick Wah sounds more like an Islanders fan than an Islanders coach. What are we doing? Why aren't we playing better? Why are we flat against the Sabres? Why did we give away a game against the Senators? Like, I don't know, man. You tell me. You're the coach. Like, that's the question that we're asking. You're supposed to be to know about this. But what you're talking about reminds me of something else, which is that, you know, who else only has one layer in terms of these guys? And that is Lou Lamoriello, Patrick Wah's new boss. And that is kind of why we get segments like this that sort of dance around the Islanders without ever giving us any actual information, because these guys are very afraid of crossing Lou and getting a bunch of texts or phone calls, however it is that Lou communicates. Maybe he sends a fish wrapped up in a newspaper or something. I don't know. But like they only see these guys under one lens. Lou is a dictator. He's a strong man. You cross him, you're on the enemy's list forever. Wah is a hothead. He fights Chris Osgood. He yells at coaches on the other side of the bench. That's it. And they're kind of waiting for these two guys to materialize. Whereas for those of us watching this team, that's not the case. Like this week was the first time that Wah has said anything that has not been complimentary of this team. Like that's it. And like I said, after the game on Sunday, all he did was compliment the Rangers. He barely said anything about the Islanders. So it's like, he's trying to say something nice without saying anything at all. Like, you know, he's trying, or, you know. So I found this funny, and you just vocalized it perfectly. Like they're expecting Wah to, when he keeps saying blow up over this, I think he means that he expects Wah to go into the Islanders locker room and start like throwing chairs around. But like that's not the Wah that we have come to know over the last, 2.5 months or so.
Right.
You know, he's a much more measured and kind of Zen like guy, like you just said before.
I know. Yeah. And I was kind of hoping that would become part of the story here, but
right.
It's not. And I think that maybe over time, it'll continue to be, it'll continue to be that way. And, these people, the mainstream hockey media will kind of just get bored of him almost. and almost in a way like they have with Lamoriello, where he's not really a central character to the story of the league, but he's just a little bit of like a tongue in cheek kind of joke. So I wonder if that's where we're headed here with Wah when he continues to kind of be this poised man behind the bench. And some the best part about him is, as you said it, you say basically every episode since they've hired him is the way that he does give these great sound bites that we obviously eat up, and we did with Trotz as well, that don't really get picked up outside. Whereas if like Sheldon Keefe says, you know, every quote that, I mean, there is a radio program. Maybe we'll do a one of these for Real Kipper and Born, where this is a show on Sportsnet 590 every day and during drive time. And like the first 15 minutes are just Sheldon Keefe. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. If you never listened to it, they are called Kipper's Clippers.
Yeah.
And they, Sheldon Keefe gives like his press conference before a game, after a game, or during a skate or a practice. And then they dissect what is he trying to say? What is he really saying when he says like, "Oh, I just need a better effort from Mitch." I'm not kidding. Like they go they gumshoe a coach speak every day on drive time radio, in Toronto. And for us, like if Wah was that in Toronto, man, they'd have a field day with him because he just is a quote machine. He's a lot of fun to listen to. So, but that's not the story here. The story here is that he's getting mad.
Yeah. or is he? We don't know. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure that no matter what he does, they'll just kind of go with whatever they want. Again, much like the Lou thing, like, "Oh, Lou's not going to stand for all this." And then, you know, what is Lou going to do? And all of a sudden he breaks out Patrick Wah, and it's like, "Oh yeah, I mean, nobody saw that coming." Well, thanks guys. That's really not very helpful. Okay. So let's move on to the next clip. So this is a short one, and it gets to part of the issue here is that, the goaltending of Ilya Sorokin was not great on Sunday. There have been some, complaints about him, particularly with the Islanders fan base, over the last little while. And Elliot touches upon this again, after watching the game on Sunday. So let me play the clip right here.
And Sorokin has struggled too. You know, we've said a couple times on this pod, or at least I have, that I believe in the Islanders because they have the best goaltending. I think Sorokin's a great goalie, but he just had a tough week, and a couple of those goals against the Rangers, you looked at them and you were like, "Wow, like he's really struggling." So that adds to the problem here on all of this.
So Elliot watched the game and just thought a couple of Sorokin's goals against were a little bit suspect, and that's probably fair. There's an article today on Hockey News written by Stefan Rosner, and it has a lot of stats and some clips here, some tweets here from Isles Fix, and about the numbers that of Sorokin's that have been down. His penalty kill save percentage is down. His overall save percentage is down. A lot of his stats are, you know, not a lot worse, but a little bit worse. His, you know, goals against average this year is 3.03, where last year it was 2.34. And last year he actually faced the third most high danger chances. Now it's the fifth most, which is still terrible, even if it's two slots better. You know, I think there's a place to be critical of Sorokin, but I think you have to take into account, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, you have to take into account how absolutely porous this defense has been for the most part in front of him. Yes, it's been better under Wah. During that streak that we talked about, and I'm glad you brought it up, that Mike Kelly thread on Twitter, like they talked about how they had all of a sudden basically shut down any high danger chances against. So we're giving up way, way less than they had been before. And lo and behold, they win six games in a row. I'm of the belief that Sorokin is tired. I feel like this is a guy who's played a lot of hockey this year. He's made a lot of saves. He's still capable of insane saves, much like he had a couple in that game against the Sabres that, again, they got shut out. Like, what are you going to do? But, you know, for Elliot to notice him and be like, "Oh my God, this is bad," that seems to be sort of the breaking point for him, where he's sort of like, okay, now these guys are in a lot of trouble. You know, I forgot to mention before that, you know, they talked about the Islanders being last in regulation wins and how they need to beat these other teams like the Red Wings and Capitals and Flyers outright because they don't have any tiebreakers against them. And that's true. But to Elliot, the big equalizer for the Islanders was Sorokin. And if he's not going to be playing at his Vezina, you know, finalist level like he was last year, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. Do you think that that is somewhat justified, or do you think that mainly the issue lies in the Islanders' absolutely terrible high danger defense more so than the goalie, whose contract, by the way, becomes $8.5 million?
Yeah, I think it's both. And I'm happy we're talking about this now because we didn't really talk about Sorokin much.
Yeah, we kind of touched on a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, like I think we just kind of don't. I mean, it's such a intricate kind of situation goaltending is that is hard to understand, and I always will give him and Varlamov the benefit of the doubt, especially this season with the way the defense is going. And I think you're right. And we the last time we kind of had this conversation, we just boiled it down to it's just simply math, yeah. Right? Like if you're a goalie and you're facing the heaviest workload in the league, if a goaltender lets in, you know, a soft goal every 60 shots, let's say, on average, like an average goalie, like if you're facing more shots than anyone, those 60 shots are going to come up,
right?
You know, more often than anybody else. I do think he's been underwhelming compared to what he was last year, but I think he's so far down the list of the problem here. People are like calling for him to steal games. Like, why isn't he stealing games right now? Yeah. He's not stealing games right now because nobody could with this defense. You know, nobody could. And the models that project scoring chance quality, they do a pretty good job for these, you know, free public models. But I remember at one point, ClearSight Analytics, Steve Valiquette's company, had Sorokin and Varlamov as the best goaltending tandem in the NHL. And I think that they still have him as like the goalie with the most or the third most steals in the league, Sportlogic or something. I'll have to look it up. But so he's far from the biggest problem here. It's just that he's not playing at the level he did last year, which is going to happen with goaltending. And it sucks because Shesterkin has kind of figured it out after he struggled for the beginning of the year. There's other goalies that have kind of have found their form, like Hellebuck as well. Like this, so it's hard to like look at that and be like, we're supposed to have an elite goalie as well. But so I get it, and I'm not giving him an excuse, but I think if you wanted to give you could both be disappointed with him and also recognize that he's not the first biggest problem here, right? Like there's a lot, but you said there's your new line now is there's something rotten here. There's something rotten here, and it's not Ilya Sorokin.
Yeah, no, I agree. Same thing. You know, could he be better? Yeah, but so could a lot of other guys. And I think a lot of the worry about Sorokin comes from, again, the fact that his contract jumps up next year and it's going to be quite hefty. And it's like, well, if he's going to play at this level for $8.5 million, well, that's going to be a problem. And yes, it would be, but I think it basically boils down to, do you trust him to not play at this level? You expect him to play at, if not last year's level, somewhere in between, which is obviously still very, very good. And he's still been really good this year, again, in spite of a defense that lets in more high danger chances than almost everybody in the league. And so if I were him, my brain is mush at the end of a work day, and I am not the starting goaltender for a National Hockey League team. So I can't even imagine what his brain is like. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing Varlamov a little bit more now, but again,
I was about to say that. I think I would be encouraged if Varlamov gets the start tomorrow and if he plays well, and maybe, you know, the Islanders pull off the miracle. I was shocked to see that the betting line has the Islanders right now. It's just they open as like a +124 favorite. I knew Carolina would end up taking money, but it's still like not as it's basically the same line as the Islanders were favored against the Senators. So it's like, yeah, that's the gap, the perceived gap between the Hurricanes and Islanders, with the Islanders having home ice advantage. But if Varlamov plays tomorrow, which I hope he does, I think he will, and the Islanders get that win, and then I would like to see him back in goal on Thursday as well. And just, yeah, give Sorokin a breather. The Rangers did it with Shesterkin, right? Like, they just gave him a little bit of a breather and it worked.
Yeah.
So why not just give that a try?
Yeah.
And hopefully he just kind of has a mini reset here, and Varlamov is really good. So why not?
Okay. I mean, it would shock me. It would not shock me in the slightest if the NHL decided to create a comeback player of the year award just to give it to Jonathan Quick for what he's done in relief of Igor Shesterkin this year. You're right. He allowed them to kind of work out his problems. And we're definitely going to see Varlamov next weekend, because again, they do have back-to-back games against the Jets and Devils. So we'll definitely see him again this week, but yeah, give him another game. Sure. Why not? But yeah, this was an interesting bit, and I did think it was kind of funny because, you know, people are kind of talking about it, but we shall see. And again, for me personally, I'm not worried about it. Like, I would kind of expect this to happen. And I do think the guy just needs a break, like more than a break for a game or two, but who knows what they want to do. Okay. So after a bit of talking about a bunch of other teams, Red Wings, Flyers, Capitals, Penguins, all, you know, kind of in the race here, talking about how bad the Caps goal differential is, how bad the Islanders goal differential is, how the worst playoff team ever made it with a minus 24 goal differential, and the Islanders are minus 20 and the Caps are minus 30, but the Caps keep grinding out wins right now. We get to my favorite part. This is the part that I was really, really hoping to get to today. So let me play this and then we can kind of get into it. It'll be very clear why this is my favorite part right off the bat. So here you go.
But the thing about the Islanders is, you know, did you see Vegas on Sunday night? They scratched Nick Hague and Zach Whitecloud.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they won the Stanley Cup last year, those were two really important players on their team. Really important players on their team. And one of the things I wonder about is, are we going to tune into one of these Islander games? I don't know that the Islanders can do something like that. But I wonder what Waugh's going to do here, because he's not a guy to stand pat. And, oh, good joke. I didn't even mean it. But I was shocked watching the Islanders on the weekend. I was really shocked watching the Islanders on the weekend. I have to say, I thought after last week they were going to be okay. I thought because of Sorokin they were going to be okay. But I was stunned watching them. And, you know, the thing too about the Rangers is, like, the Rangers just took over that game. And when Sorokin suddenly looked human, the Rangers surged and the Islanders sagged.
Okay, so here's why this is my favorite part. This is my favorite Elliot bit that he does on this show, where he says, the thing about the Islanders is, and then immediately starts talking about another team. So he goes, the thing about the Islanders is, you look at Vegas, and he goes off on this whole thing about how the Golden Knights scratch Nick Hague and Zach Whitecloud, who were two really important players for them, and maybe the Islanders could get in on something along the lines. By the way, breaking news, somebody posted this on Twitter before. You've probably seen it already by the time you listen to this. The Flyers are apparently toying with the idea of scratching Sean Couturier in their game tomorrow. He's their captain, their number one center. That would be kind of a bold move for a team that's struggling a little bit right now. But they talk about the Islanders potentially scratching someone in order to, I guess, wake the team up, and, you know, whether or not they have the horses, you know, in their, or the bullets in their holster to do that sort of thing. What I find really funny about this is that they don't say who could get scratched or why they would be scratched or who would replace them. Just somebody could get scratched, which again is not helpful in any way, shape or form. And I don't know where to go with this. Like, could they scratch somebody? Okay, sure. But who's going to get scratched?
Oh,
like,
so I don't know. Good.
Yeah.
I immediately thought of you because this is a bit that happens all the time. And I joke around with you and some other people listen that I'd give these guys so much credit if it is a bit that they know every time they talk about the Islanders, they start it this way. I think it was a couple weeks ago they did it talking about Waugh getting them to play his style or whatever. And the thing that Elliot said was like, and you know what? The thing about the Islanders under Waugh is, do you remember when Toronto?
Yes.
It was like right around the All-Star break, so I can't really remember exactly what the time was, but you can trust me. So when they did this, I immediately thought of you. It's one of my favorite things that they do. I was really wanting to see what name he came up with.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, he knows, he talked to Matt Barzell at All-Star.
Right.
So he knows Barzell.
That's right.
He knows that Lou Lamoriello and the Islanders came in, they traded for Bo Horvat, and nobody saw it coming until a couple hours before. Mm. He knows they have the goaltending. So I was like, I really want to know who he's going to mention here. I will say, I agree with the notion. I agree with the notion. I was like, yeah, it's. I think all Islander fans would agree that we hope tomorrow at the morning skate, the line rushes there's either a new face in there or some of the old faces are the extras, and maybe Sebastian Aho takes a seat and somebody else comes in for him. And whatever. But I was hoping he was getting to the point that the Flyers are getting to, is like, you know, maybe he shakes it up by scratching Anders Lee or something, but I just don't think he could come up with a name. So instead he just talks about the Golden Knights. It was incredible. Oh, I love them so much.
I'm with you. I think that he was sort of leaning towards Lee, maybe couldn't remember him. Maybe he's like the big guy with the chin. You know, I kind of know his face. What's his name again? Can't remember. And then just sort of left it hanging there. Because here's the thing. And like, you just hit upon it again. Like, yeah, okay, the line rush has come out. And, oh, okay, you know, Bortuzzo is in and Aho is out. And you're like, okay, whatever. Or, you know, Martin is out and Fashing is in, I think, or whatever. You know, and like that, we've seen that before. That's no big deal. If Lee were to be scratched and replaced by, say, Hudson Fashing, again, I'm just throwing a name out there because there's no other forwards. Or I should say, let's say Lee is scratched. They move, you know, Holmstrom up or Engvall up and then Fashing on the third line, or they move somebody from the fourth line, whatever. You know, I don't know if it's certainly possible, I guess, especially if the Flyers are thinking about doing that. I just don't see it happening. And again, you know, I get what he's saying in that Vegas really shook up their lines to stop their bleeding. And it got everybody's attention, but I don't see the Islanders doing something like that. And frankly, I don't know if that would get their attention. I really don't. Like, you know, why would scratching Anders Lee wake the Islanders up? Like, we scratched Pierre Engvall, and obviously Engvall is on the same level as Lee in terms of like the team hierarchy, but like it didn't do anything. it didn't really affect much. You're not going to scratch Horvat or Barzell or Nelson or Palmieri, the four guys who are up front are playing mostly well. You know, Nelson's a little bit cold, but the other guys are playing well. Scratching a Simon Holmstrom doesn't really matter. You could scratch Pageau, I guess, but you don't have no more centers. Like, who's left? I don't even know. So I get what he's saying. I just can't possibly see it happening. But again, he gets back to the point of like, Patrick Waugh will not stand pat. Joke, whatever. It's like, yeah, but what can he do? Like, I just don't see that happening. And to me, again, not having an actual answer here just kind of gives away the whole game. Like, yeah, they could do what the Golden Knights did, but I don't, hell if I know if they're going to do that. It doesn't sound like it. The other thing that really made me laugh was he was shocked, and stunned by, and then surprised. So he said those three adjectives to describe the Islanders: shocked, stunned, and surprised, which is like kind of him again stalling for time, trying to come up with something to say about this team that he barely knows, that he watched a little bit over this weekend. I did find it funny, though, that he talked about something that you and I, again, talked a lot about on yesterday's show, which is that as the Rangers surged in that game, the Islanders sagged. And this is your whole thing, where they don't respond. Like, they come out, and if they don't immediately impose their will on another team, the other team imposes their will first, the Islanders just had no response. But and I think that might be, if I'm reading, you know, doing the Elliott speak here, trying to read between these lines, Sheldon Keefe and Nick Kyprios style, I think that might be what he means. Like, he was just surprised that the Islanders didn't sort of punch back when the Rangers were punching at them.
Yeah, because that's the team that everybody expects the Islanders are. I mean, even Anson Carter during the intermission on Sunday was like, you know, that Bo Horvat goal where he worked his tail off to get that shot off. He like deflected it and then scored. Mm. It was an amazing goal. The second goal they scored. Anson Carter was like, that's Islanders hockey. Like, that is what we think about. It's hardworking. They're heavy on the puck. And I'm like, yes, that is Islanders hockey from 2021. And I get that that's the last time that they were relevant to basically any of you. I don't blame you for not paying attention to them since then, because they've been an absolute chore to deal with in my life. But that's maybe why. Like, where are the Islanders? Where are the Islanders that respond? Where's the Islanders that, you know, went down 2-0 in game 6 against the Lightning and then just remained calm? Jordan Eberle and then Scott Mayfield score and then Anthony Beauvillier scores. Like, where is that team? Where's the team that came back against the Penguins in game 5 on the road? Sorokin stole that game, and then they came back again in game 6 at home and just sucked the life out of the Penguins. And they did a similar routine against the Bruins the next series. Like, that's the last time the Islanders were center stage. So that's what is burned in people's mind. And trust me, it's burned in my mind too. But in a very different way. It's like, I'm longing to get back there. This is not that team. So that was, to me, why I was excited, you know, that this whole exercise is about, right? That is quote unquote Islanders hockey, but the Islanders aren't playing Islanders hockey right now. And that's what makes it very depressing, because these are the same players that built their careers on playing Islanders hockey, and now they're just doing almost the exact opposite of it. So yes, they sagged, and they've been sagging for most of the season. So
in 3 or 4 or 5 game chunks, as we learned yesterday as well. Yeah. So yeah, no, it's all true. Okay. So let's get to the end of the segment here. They kind of wrap things up a little bit and look ahead at the Islanders' next game. So let me play that clip right now.
I don't know what to make of New York here. I'm surprised at it, but now they're in trouble in a lot of different ways, not only in points, but in terms of regulation wins. They're going to have to beat these teams outright. Their next game is on Tuesday at home against the Hurricanes. That's a real gift. Oof.
Hurricanes are great, you know, right now, too.
It's one of those nights where you always wonder, you know, what does the lineup look like? And look, Vegas could scratch those two guys, and they put in Alec Martinez and Ben Hutton. And maybe combined, those two aren't as strong as those other two. But Alec Martinez is a hugely valuable player to that team. And Ben Hutton is a legit NHL defenseman. I don't know if the Islanders have the ability to do what Vegas did in that situation, but like I said, it's Patrick Waugh, and you know by what he said and the way he looks, he doesn't understand how you can't show up for a big game, or you can sag in a big game, because as the games got bigger, Patrick Waugh got better.
So this is basically a rehash of what they said. They have to beat a bunch of teams outright. They have a game against Carolina coming up. There won't be a picnic for sure. What is the lineup going to look like? Is somebody going to get scratched that, you know, would make an impact and make the players kind of wake up a little bit? He gets back to talking about Vegas again, because, you know, they scratched Zach Whitecloud and Nick Hague. And, you know, Nick Hague is a Jeff Marek favorite. I'm surprised he didn't get in up on his horse and throw a little Daniel Sprong action in there as well. And he's like, did the Islanders do that? And the thing about Waugh that he said was that as a player, the bigger the game, the better he played. And that is 100% true. That's why we remember Patrick Waugh. And that's why, again, it took us several weeks to kind of come to grips with the fact that this man is coaching the Islanders now, because we all remembered 1996, 97, 98 to, you know, 2001 Patrick Waugh, who was very much the better player in a lot of the big games, instead of, you know, 2024 Patrick Waugh, who's been humbled and is more of like a player's coach and wants to kind of understand players a little bit more. But again, this whole segment, which is a little over 6 minutes long, and again, you know, the Islanders don't get a ton of play on 32 Thoughts. You know, they're a bit on the trade deadline before the trade deadline, because they didn't do anything at the trade deadline, was, well, you never know what Lou's going to do, but he's not going to be happy about it, which again is not very helpful. So this whole bit in 6 minutes, really, what do we learn about the Islanders? Well, they've lost a bunch of games in a row. We don't know what Patrick Waugh is going to do. Vegas scratched some guys from the lineup that are big names, so maybe they'll do that. And they have a bad goal differential, and they're fighting with a bunch of teams to get into the playoffs, and they have the Hurricanes next. All this stuff, by the way, can be found easily at NHL.com. So again, we're not learning anything new from this segment by the NHL sort of bellwether zeitgeist podcast. But I think this whole thing, it's more informative about them than the Islanders. Like, I think you and I covered this whole losing streak a lot more nuanced and with a lot more kind of detail, and not giving them any excuses by any means, but kind of asking the more pointed questions. Whereas these guys are kind of just like, man, I can't believe the Islanders sucked this weekend. Do you believe that? Well, yeah, because you guys haven't watched them in 3 weeks since they played since they sucked against the Canadiens. Like, let's be honest, they sucked in that game too. But you guys were so busy watching Patrick Waugh behind the bench and rooting for the Canadiens that you didn't even notice. So I don't know. Am I missing something here? Is there some kind of nugget of wisdom in this 6 minute segment that these guys had about the Islanders that maybe I'm just not picking up because I'm a hater?
No, and I think this is one of my pet peeves about any time that you're in a playoff race or any sort of race in sports these days is, and our old beat writer at The Athletic, who is now the Flyers beat writer, was the worst offender of this, is just explaining stuff that, yes, we know. We know that regulation wins is the first tiebreaker, and we know that the Islanders need to pass these people. And I get what you're doing, and I, whatever, but it's probably just irritating to hear because of where the Islanders are right now, and everything is making your skin crawl because they are just mired in the slump.
Right. It's hugely irritating, I would say.
It's just so, yeah, the whole thing is irritating, but I remember Kevin Kurz was just, he was just the worst at it. It'd be like, he'd basically, after every win, be like, all right, now sit down, everybody. I'm going to teach you something. That win was worth 2 points, but since... Did you see how they only played 3-on-3 at the end of the game? That's because it went to something called overtime. And if you get to overtime, you automatically get 1 point, even if you lose. How I felt when he would talk about it. As you said, like, I think there were some funny points that, or not funny, but like salient points that they made and that Islander fans would all agree with, but the shallow coverage from national media with the Islanders and probably other teams too. It's just impossible to know the nuts and bolts of all 32 teams when you need to know, different what tape Jonathan Huberdeau uses on his stick and the visors, what company's making the visors and Arizona government politics and stuff. Like, it's, you're never going to know
what's
truth
on the table at the GM's meeting this year. It's a video review. Wow. Thanks, guys. It's really helpful. I don't know.
You're just never going to know the nuance of all 32 teams.
Yeah.
It's a frustrating time right now. So I think that, listening to that, I wouldn't be shocked, that the Islander fans who normally listen to that show every week just didn't do it this week because they knew that this was how the team was going to be covered. And I think that's actually that's not unheard of. I think most fans do that. Like, I don't want to listen to this. Like, the only time I'm going to hear them talk about the Islanders all year is right now. And I know what's going on. Like, I know that the Islanders are sagging. And I don't need it to be confirmed like that. So nothing eye-opening. No.
I definitely didn't listen on the Friday because they come out Mondays and Fridays. I definitely didn't listen the Friday after they lost to Buffalo last week because I just didn't want to hear it. Like, I didn't want to hear the Sabres party that was going to be going on. And or the Sabre dance, so to speak. I just didn't want to hear it. Because the same reason. Like, I knew it. But this time, I guess I was a glutton for punishment. Like you said right off the top, I'm still mad. So I wanted to hear more. And what I got was exactly what I expected. I don't know what else I was thinking. Yep. But, there you go. That's what we get. And I guess it'll be 3 weeks. Well, I guess when does the season end? I guess in about 5 weeks. So that's when we'll hear the Islanders again on Thursday.
But I do think this is a good, evergreen thing to do because we talk about the Islanders coverage a lot on Islanders Anxiety. It's a common theme. And if you aren't somebody who listens to podcasts off the island, so to speak, at least now you have the concrete evidence of a famous, well, here's the thing about the Islanders, the Vegas Golden Knights, that classic segue. So now you have concrete evidence of what we're talking about. Of course, this is all out of veneration to the podcast because we are listening to it every week, like the losers we are. So
yes, and actively trying to get one or both of these guys on Weird Islanders podcast, but that's a story for another time. I think that's about it. Thank you very much for listening. We hope that you've enjoyed this little, again, Fire Joe Morgan exercise. If you don't know what that is, please look it up because it's one of the great sports blogs of all time. Do not forget about our live event, March 30th at Offside Tavern, 4:00. We're going to be recording for a live episode of Weird Islanders, the podcast. So we want to hear your stories. We want to see your swag. We're being presented by Isles Meetups NYC. So if you're going to see a game in New York City, look those guys up and check out a game with them. We've got four of them coming up this week. So, and I think a couple of them are on the road. So definitely meet up with those guys and watch a game if you're behind enemy lines in Manhattan. Sign up at patreon.com/islandersanxiety. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Morning Haze by Family Dinner is our theme song. Read Lighthouse Hockey. We're part of the Fans First Sports Network. Shop VintageIceHockey.com. Try wines from the Pinot Project. Mike, where can everybody find you on Twitter?
The Big Lee Basket with two E's.
Sorry, I caught you by surprise. I'm trying to make this an express sign out here. So any final thoughts before, I guess, Tuesday's game against the Hurricanes?
No, I'm looking forward to the changes, the Vegas Golden Knights inspired changes to the lineup, I hope. And hopefully by the time, you know, if you listen to this, and I do understand that this is probably a podcast that is for a niche audience of a niche audience already. If you are listening to this, maybe there's some, some changes made and maybe a jolt to the lineup has been tried. So and hey, maybe the Islanders can win, but I don't think they're going to.
Let's not get too crazy now. But I guess, you know, stranger things have happened, so we'll see. We hope that we've made your wait for the game a little bit shorter and you've enjoyed this, and we'll be back on Sunday with our next episode of Islanders Anxiety. All right, take care. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.